Welcome, William Hill sports fans. We're coming to you live from the Club Calneva boardroom. Two more shows, this show and one more before the big game. Uh-oh, we didn't get the confirmation from our board guy who should be listening and let us know, do we have to say big game? So let me put my headphones back on and see what he has to say. Yeah. So, big game next Sunday.
The superb owl.
The superb owl.
Who violated that rule last year?
We have actually...
On tape.
John did.
JD.
He was the first and the most violation.
I think at some point that they also loosened the restriction on it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't, yeah, so
I was just ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You could say it with your mask.
Right.
Superb out.
Say those words. Exactly.
All right. It's amazing. You know, last week we watched the games. I'm surprised that Green Bay, Tampa Bay was able to go into Green Bay and win that game. Things got out of hand early. For Green Bay and Tom Brady, and they hung on, and the Kansas City game kind of went the way I thought it was. Yeah. We shouldn't have bought into the Patrick Mahomes concussion ankle thing. You know, they looked fantastic.
Well, and we kind of hit on it right with that first couple drives. We were going to see what Mahomes we were going to get. Were you going to get the healthy, okay one, or were you going to get the hurt one? And he looked good to go right out of the gate.
They all looked the same to me.
Well,
and it's always they follow their formula, and the playoffs fall behind, and then storming back, and then win one away. It's unbelievable.
Even that fumble punt, like who cares?
Yeah,
like, those got 10-0. You already knew the run is coming, or 9 because they missed the point after. Them.
Yeah, at no
that
point
kills really. Other teams.
Right, other teams like they just never recover, and that's it. You're upset. You're going home. It was never just like all right, just their typical sloppy first quarter. Just wait till like they'll bounce back, and then they, of course they end up finishing it off and covering with ease. So.
All right, I just got confirmation from my board guy back at ESPN. He says, if you're talking about the game itself, you can say Super Bowl. If you're talking about a party or anything else besides the actual game, you can't say it. So we're talking about the Super Bowl.
That's been my whole time.
Why would you not promote the Super Bowl?
So long as it's related to actual coverage.
Yeah.
Not trying to promote a party that we're charging money to attend to.
Yeah. So I actually ended up with, under rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes in that game. I had under 26.5 yards. Didn't even come close to it. So. You know, that was it. I guess that was a cigar.
Seemed to be careful of.
Yeah.
Not risking the injuries.
Right. And this game opened up for the listeners. I remember right when it opened up, right after the last game last Sunday, it opened up at Tampa Bay -3.5, and immediately it was gobbled up. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. -3.5. -3.5. And immediately the wise guys and all the early sharp money, they grabbed Tampa Bay and bet it down immediately, absolutely immediately to -3. So, and that's where we sit right now. I was just looking, what is it, 3 and 56?
3 and 56.5, right? 56 right now on the mobile app.
Right. Which Nick Bogdanovich has got the majority or a lot of his props up. I would say probably 80% of his props up right now. He hasn't published the Bible yet, which, you know, it's a big, thick 8-10 pages of nothing but of props.
Yeah.
And they're all available. Most of them are available on the mobile app right now, which you can download at www.williamhill.us. It's the mobile app. And actually, if you haven't signed up, this is a great opportunity. William Hill actually has a promotion. Come down to the Calneva and sign up a first-time subscriber to the William Hill mobile app. If you sign up for $50, you get $50 free in bets too. So it's basically a match play sign-up bonus.
You can make a $50 wager on the game, and if you don't win, you're covered.
Yeah.
It's very good, Tommy.
To win? Tommy, don't you win? If you win, you got another $50 bet.
Yeah. Yeah, if you win, it's even better.
Yeah. So,
again.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Wow. Josh, did you understand Tommy's logic there?
I did.
I was all over it.
Winning the free bet's preferable to losing it is what I concluded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like better to lose it.
But you come down to Club Calneva. You know, if you're a sports handicapper, come down. Even if you're the casual handicapper, you never know. You might want to throw a couple bucks on a game, and you know, it's just driving down to a brick and mortar, a sports book for Wim Hill.
The best part about the app for me this time of year,
in play.
Not only the in play, but for all the props. You know, it's always fun when we always had the stack of tickets of the props that we had. But I like having them all
graded for you,
right in one spot. Exactly. Not only graded, because I've lost many a ticket. Didn't I bet that over? And then I don't know where the hell it is. You're never going to lose on that.
Yeah, so absolutely. So download the Windmill mobile app, come down to the Club Calneva, sign up for the Windmill mobile app, deposit $50, and you actually get a $50 sign-up bonus. You get $100 worth of action just for signing up and depositing $50. Fantastic deal. So, all right. Before we jump into the Super Bowl real quick, I want to talk a little bit about Wolfpack basketball. They're headed down the right path, coming off a couple of big wins versus Fresno State, went up to Laramie, and just didn't play well. They just let both those games get away from them there in both games. They got away late, and they actually came back, 0-2, a couple of tough losses. They do have Vegas on deck, John, UNLV. Yep. That's this Sunday. I was talking, the overnights are not out yet, but I did talk to Nick Bogdanovich today, and I asked him what he thinks he's going to open at, and he said Wolfpack minus 4.5.
Yeah, that's a Rebels lean right there, if I've ever seen one. I think it's going to be a nail biter back and forth both games. I think they're really evenly matched teams. There's not much of a home court advantage, obviously, with 50 fans there. And I don't know that, getting Zane Meeks back is going to help a little bit. You know, he is a unique player with his ability to go inside, outside at that size. And that's something that they look like they've been lacking. But at that 4.5, if that's what it is, I kind of like the Rebs there.
Is that just based on a current form type of analysis?
Yeah, pretty much, the Rebels basically had the whole month of December off.
They did.
With COVID issues in the program. So they're running in shape. They're a talented team that their five-star got in a little trouble. They had to release him, unfortunately. Well, or fortunately for Wolfpack, unfortunately for the kid and what he did.
I read a little bit about
that. Awful situation. But this solitary game in particular, I got to say, I'm going to stick with the Rebels plus 4.5. Wolfpack win the game.
Let's recap real quick for the listeners. What the Rebels have done this year? They started the season 1-4. They lost to Montana State, New Mexico, Alabama. I can see two of those three. Montana State surprises me a little bit. And then they lost to Davidson 77-73. Then they come back and beat Kansas State, a really bad Kansas State team. It's Kansas State down, lost two to Colorado State. But since then, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're 5-1 since then with two wins over New Mexico, and they split versus Utah State. I mean, and that's legit. And if you go back to John, what you're saying, back to true current form, Vegas is playing a lot better right now. They're 5-1 their last six with a win over Utah State.
And like I said, with these interesting kind of double headers that we're seeing, for the restricted traveling, I find it interesting too. Just the dynamic is the second one that looks similar and whatnot, but they were in the second one too. Yeah. Just right down at the end, they didn't make many plays. They're just a couple of plays away from a sweep of Utah State. So it's pretty clear that they're coming together right now.
And it's really weird when they go with that 4 or 5 guard lineup that it's just very athletic and very fast. And it makes it really hard to have a defensive scheme set in place. Yeah. And
you just fire 3 after 3 after 3. So they're going to live and die by it. They're hard to beat.
And if they're hitting it, exactly. I mean, you're going to be playing from behind. And I really like the lean that you said is, take the plus points and hope that the Pack wins by a bucket at the last second.
Yeah.
Going back to the first part of January, guys, end of last year, they beat New Mexico, and then they come back and they beat New Mexico on January 2nd. Then they go up to San Diego State and lose 2 heartbreakers, 65-60, 5-point loss there, and they lose 69-67, a 2-point loss there. But they came back and they battled back. They beat Fresno in 2 consecutive games, handled them pretty well, beat them 73-57 and 79-65. So actually not just squeaking out wins after the 2 tough losses, again, on the road at San Diego State. I was impressed by the way they really showed up for those games, and they didn't squeak out. They blew them out. They took care of business. Yeah. And then going up to Wyoming, I really thought that we would go into Wyoming and win 2 games. I'm surprised that we didn't get a split, but they lose 71-64 and 93-88, and it's very unfortunate. You just can't lose those games, on the road like that. You got to come back with at least.
Saturday night, you said Pack's getting 80 tomorrow, guaranteed. Sure enough.
88.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this is the tough part of the Wolfpack basketball schedule coming up, guys. We got 2 versus Vegas, 2 versus Boise State. Then we catch 2 at San Jose State, and then Colorado State and Utah State. I mean, we're playing all the teams that are ahead of us now in the standings. We got the 1-2 and the 3. The 1-2 and 3 ranked teams in the Mountain West Conference.
Colorado State is good.
They're very dangerous.
I love watching Roddy play.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player. So, he actually reminds me of Jordan Carroll.
Absolutely. So that's where we're at right now. And the interesting thing about this game versus UNLV on Sunday, it's a 6:30 game on FS1.
Right. During the Royal Rumble.
during the Royal Rumble. I know. I asked our buddy Rook, said, hey, let's go over to your house and watch the Royal Rumble. And I asked my buddy Kyle, and he goes, yeah. Oh, wait, I'm married now. I gotta ask. But anyways, Josh, what do you think? Vegas, Sunday, 6:30.
Yeah, they said it's one of those things that you mentioned, Ken. I was a little surprised too with the Wyoming situation, because you know they're always tough, whatnot, but Nevada has also gotten the better of them the last few years. It tends to be, and even though they hang in there, and I agree, it was at least the salvagers, not salvagers split, was a little bit disappointing. And with UNLV having come on of late, yeah, it seems like maybe not the best spot for the Pack, but they got to start turning things around. Can't do that point though about the road thing. I remember I mentioned this last year. It just makes you wonder, because I know we all appreciate what Coach Alford is doing, the direction they're headed. But I remember last year on his weekly coaches show toward the end of the year, and he was addressing the relatively poor road record. And he just sort of like literally laughed it off and said, well, you know what? All college teams struggle to play in the roads. We got one of the youngest rosters in the country and whatnot. And all that was true. But even now, like you mentioned, when there's not 20,000 fans scream every time you touch the ball, it should be easier there. Yeah. But I just wonder if sending that message sets a precedent, like, yeah, I'm never going to really sweat us winning on the road because you're just sort of not supposed to. My point is, does that also not just sort of become the culture? You know, I mean, it is hard.
Right,
you know? But you look at the higher levels, like Bill Self, whether you're Kansas or Duke, whatever, there are some teams that can win on the road at least now and then. You know, you see it in the Big Ten. It's hard, but you do it. But I just wondered if, you know, if he promotes that mentality, which is sort of a built-in, it's just
a road win's a bonus,
expectation. Yeah. And so I just wonder, because I just remember bringing that up on the show because it stood out when I heard him say that on his weekly ESPN coaches show here on this channel. And it was like the one thing he said all year that I didn't like at all. It was just like, the people who were criticizing, like, I gotta get over it. You know, we're not supposed to win on the road. I'm not saying that he's saying the same thing today.
Sure.
But that so far, that's been a weakness in his era.
It absolutely has.
Well, and I mean, three of us sat here and watched the first game after the show, and they came back from 20, and it just showed a lot of heart and a lot of character. And so I went into that Sunday game thinking, hey, the Pack's got this. We're going to win it. And they didn't. And
I told John just alluded to earlier, if you told me, I said that we'd get 80 on Sunday. And we got 88 and still lost. I mean, that's what's weird. You know?
And then
unusual, just the defense just absolutely collapsed.
And it's almost embarrassing that then Wyoming goes out and loses by 30 to San Diego State the next night. And you're thinking, like, well, if they could give them a run for their money, maybe this is a sign that they're just a growing program. And
boy, did I have a man-sized bet on San Diego State.
I'm happy you did, but
I mean, Wyoming just coming off two big wins right there. And then going out, and this San Diego State team is they're hungry right now, and they're playing a lot better now than they were.
Wouldn't it, if Wyoming kept it a lot closer than that 30, you know, within 2-3 scores, it makes those losses in Laramie feel a little bit more justified that, okay, this program up there is for real, and they gave us everything we could handle and deserve it.
How do you know that just wasn't a letdown spot, like you said?
Yeah, and you never know, and I still the tournament's going to be great, I think.
I love to bet let down spots when a team's going up against a good defensive team, San Diego State. And that's the reason I made a pretty good size.
And easily do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So
right now, I mean, sight unseen, if Nick opens up at 4.5 on Sunday, I'll be looking for the Pack to win a close game. I think it's going to come down to the last possession. So I'm going to be looking
at 74-71 will play.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. So I'll be looking to take the plus 4.5, maybe buy it up to 5, and hope to lose my money.
Yeah, having Zane Meeks there. Desmond Cambridge was a question mark. He had a death in the family, but it looks like he's going to play. So that's obviously a big thing. You know, thoughts and prayers to his family.
Absolutely. There's something that you said too. I was going to question about. Oh, it's fans in the stadium. You said they're allowing 50 fans.
50 is what it said on their.
Chris
Murray's writing it.
Past season ticket holders?
I don't know how they determine that. I would assume family, and I don't know how they do it.
And I thought I read too, you have to sit basically up pretty high. You're not.
Well, there's.
You got to sit on the planetarium.
Yeah. When I was talking to Doug Newth, and they were saying that they weren't going to allow people in the bowl. That's what I did too.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I don't know. I'd rather watch it.
I agree. Well, not me. I'd rather go. Well, I want to see one game in person. I want to see, you know, I want the eyeball test, Josh.
Yeah, but what you just mentioned on the population, when it's that tightly restricted, it's pretty much family only. It's like two people per player. That's it. Coaches and your staff and your scorekeeper. Everyone grab a friend. You know, you get one.
That's what we thought in the game, first football game of the year. Right. And I was able to get us into that.
Wouldn't surprise me if you specifically got in somehow. Yeah. I'm just saying, but that's what the 50s reserved for.
Always too far from my house, but three blocks. That's a long trek for me. I want to do that.
All right. I'll be looking to take the plus five, 4.5, 5 versus with Vegas. I know disrespect to the Wolfpack basketball team, you know, and I hope I lose my money. I just think that this is a rivalry. I think when you go to true to form, you know, the Pack coming off a couple of losses, Vegas 5-1 their last six. They had one cupcake in there with one of the losses being against Utah State, but also one of the wins being against Utah State too.
And the recent history of the Wolfpack's kind of dominated the Rebels.
Yeah.
And it's a weird feeling as a lifelong Wolfpack fan to have the upper hand of the Rebels, which they do right now. So I hope that's being preached in that locker room.
Absolutely.
We're the dog in this state.
Absolutely. We have the cannon.
Yeah.
Let's keep it.
There's no sharks anymore.
That's right. Let's head out to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll a couple more basketball games I want to get you guys' opinions on right now. One top 20 matchup, Iowa versus Illinois, tips off at 6 p.m. So I kind of want to get everybody's opinion on that. And we'll continue to talk about the Super Bowl when we get back on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. Coming to you live from the Club Kianiva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Talking about the Super Bowl, talking about Wolfpack basketball. Josh, Tommy, JD, there's a couple of games left tonight I want to talk about real quick. At 6 p.m., Iowa, Illinois, top 20 matchup. Illinois going on or laying 3, a total of 162. I sprinkled a little bit on the over on this. Nick and I were talking about it. Maybe, you know, he kind of liked the over, so I sprinkled a little bit on the over. That's a big total, though, 162.
Yeah, that's rough, and it depends on which team gets the tempo in their favor, because honestly, if Iowa has their way, it would be, you know, a fast-paced affair. But Illinois is more of that grinded-out half-court. I would actually think about the under, because I think for Illinois to win, they probably need to keep it in the high 60s to low 70s score-wise. I think to try to dictate tempo to be physical with Iowa. So I wouldn't take that over. But when it comes right down to it, I like Illinois a little bit. Ken, it's just I've seen Iowa enough to know, you know, they're pretty good at home. They can win on the road once in a while. But this specific team, you know, they just had a bit of a letdown, lost to Indiana at home in the blue lead. And they just go in streaks like this. But early in the year, I think they won like 8 or 9 in a row. I just feel like this is one of those just key games, more so for Illinois as a resume. They like to out physical you. And it's just, if Iowa plays well, they're the more talented team.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That's why it's minus 2 or whatever. But I just feel like this is the type of Illinois, and they're sort of made that way with their roster and the way they're coached. I mean, they tend to just kind of grind it out against more gifted teams. I feel like it's an Illinois spot.
That's exactly it. I was very talented. One of the most talented teams.
Of course, Garza, player of the year in the country for 2 years running.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of hard to beat.
Averaging nine. Bohannon, or should I say Jordan Bohannon, who got a medical red shirt because of his surgery last year. He's been there like 8 years.
I was just going to say the Luke record. But, you know, these conference road games, I know it's not the same road games as it usually is, still not an easy task. I thought that the Illinois would be about 4, actually.
I thought it would be steeper, for sure. Yeah. Like it's a pick-up with the home court. Totally. But that's why there's the respect for Iowa. Okay, honestly, they were overvalued, you know, the last game, though. They're laying 10.5, 11 against Indiana's owned them, you know, the last 3 years. They're laying 10.5. So to me, that was a pretty easy take on the Hoosiers. They actually came back from down big and won. So.
Yeah, I kind of lean to the under two. It's easy to eyeball the 90.7 points that Iowa was scoring and think, you know, Illinois is going to get there. They're going to get 60, 70 points. But I think they're going to slow the tempo down. And I mean, that's a really big number to get to. And I kind of lean a little bit towards Iowa with the plus 3.5.
I can see that, absolutely.
I think they're just – had a little bit stronger schedule.
They're a better team.
If they play well, and again, keep in mind, it'd be a terrible home court in a normal circumstance, extremely loud, you know, in the environment, but not having to deal with that. Generally speaking, Iowa shows up and plays well. Both teams play their best. Iowa wins. But I just also wonder, though, if they will. It's just with Fran McCaffrey and their history, this is where this is sort of a letdown, historical letdown.
It baffles me that Illinois and DePaul, for that matter, aren't just top 10 teams every year with the talent pool that they have just in the Chicago area alone.
Yeah, right. It's funny. Illinois hasn't really been the same since, you know, they got rid of Bruce Weber.
Right.
And it's funny. I don't know if you follow Bruce Weber's stats. He's not over it either.
No.
He was teamed today by, you know, most wins in all time in school history, best winning percentage. To this day, he's upset about it. And you know what? He sort of has a point.
And to keep it real, where's he going to wear his wing plays?
Right. That's the main thing. He has to wear purple and Kansas State. Like he lost his wardrobe.
Yep.
Go to Syracuse.
But the guy who they replaced him with has already been fired. The guy from Ohio. So now they're on like their third guy. It looks like the program's turning around.
Yeah.
APM, that game's actually at 6 o'clock. At 8 p.m., another big game. Boise State at Colorado State. Boise State laying 2.5 on the road, total of 145. This Boise State just got their 9-1 in the conference. Colorado State 9-2 in the conference.
Hammer.
Huh?
I watched that whole game.
Yeah.
That David Roddy, man. If I could have one player from another team in this league, I'd take David Roddy right now.
And you hit it on the nail when we were talking about them earlier, is he is very Jordan Carolina.
Not quite as athletic, but a similar game, that junkyard dog style.
Yeah.
He is very athletic, but this is, I think Boise rebounds right here. They kind of got embarrassed that night. I mean, Colorado State won that game going away. I think Boise State rebounds right here and gets this W.
Boise State, Josh, 9-1 in the conference, and Colorado State is 9-2. So it's basically a battle for first place. Sandwiched right in between there is Utah State at 10-2. So I'm with you guys. I look for Boise to have a huge bounce back game. I think the line is short. It's 2.5 and 145. I think it's going to be a war, but I also think that Boise State's going to get it. Josh?
No, I would agree with that, especially with the way that specific rivalry has gone lately. I would have a hard time envisioning like Lake. So it's a pretty good spot for them to just even things up.
You know, and I was just looking, and John, we always like to bet Hawaii at the 9 o'clock game, but guess what? Tonight, there's a 9 o'clock Hawaii basketball game.
Boy.
So if you lose, if you wager on the 6 p.m. game between Illinois and Iowa, Illinois laying 3-162, and you lose, you know, you might wager on the Boise, Colorado State game, Boise laying 2.5 till the 145, you lose that. There's always the triple beta, the triple Lindy right there at 9 p.m. Irvine going to Hawaii laying 3 until a 137. I like Irvine, guys. I already bet it at 2.5. minus 2.5.
It's a little different in football because every gambler in the world knows all about Hawaii football because that's your get even game or your get back game.
Absolutely. Anything in basketball for tomorrow, Josh, real quick? Alabama plays Oklahoma. Number 9, Alabama versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma 10-4 right now. Oklahoma's playing good basketball right now. They come off
back-to-back. What's that KU game the other night?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And they just beat Texas, too. Yeah. So they come off huge wins between Texas versus Texas and Kansas. Yeah. You know, and now Oklahoma's playing Alabama. Kind of an interesting mid-season matchup.
What's the numbers?
Kind of unofficial. Oklahoma minus 1.5 with a total of 154. And if you watch any kind of basketball, Alabama likes to play high.
Right, right. For sure. They actually are. They're way better than most people realize. You know, they swept Kentucky. I like Alabama in this one. To be honest with you, I had Oklahoma the other night against Texas. Grateful. I didn't think they played that well. I thought they should have blown them out. Yeah, Texas was missing everybody. Coach Smart on the COVID list. Like, Texas was depleted and still, it was a 1-point game. Oklahoma, even though I understand they're a 4-point dog, they shouldn't have been. They should have controlled that game. But they coming off a win over Kansas. And you know, it's a nice run. Ken, I know you follow the team too. Yeah, I feel like they're playing decent. But there's just something about it. I just also feel like that's sort of their ceiling, their max. I'm like very fortunate to get away with the Texas thing. And I just feel like Alabama's the more polished team at this point, and Oklahoma having won 4 in a row. I feel like, you know, they might be out of steam a little bit. If you've seen the whole thing with Alabama, just one more seasoned team with all the roster turnover or whatnot. They just have a real veteran-laden team. I just sort of feel like Oklahoma runs into it here. And actually, Alabama should probably be the favorite.
I agree with that. Being an Oklahoma fan, I'll be looking to back Alabama tomorrow morning. And I, you know, it must be the challenge. You know, it's obviously the challenge. Oklahoma State plays Arkansas, Baylor plays
Kansas, Tennessee,
things of that nature. But you know, you look at this Oklahoma State team. Which one of you guys? No, I think it was Scott, my buddy, that's a Kansas fan. He said to look out for this Oklahoma State team. He goes, they're 10-4 right now. They get to play Musselman and Arkansas tomorrow. I want to be rooting for Oklahoma State with all of my every piece of my energy. Oklahoma State lane 2, with a total of 152, Josh.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because Oklahoma State did that last year too, though. Came out extremely strong, you know, early in the season, then sort of fell apart. So I have a hard time trusting them. And I say it's one of those things where you watch a great performance, think that's sort of the baseline to expect, and then they fall apart the next game. So I would have, I know you probably hate this guy, but I would have Arkansas on that one. I feel like Folsom would probably be a little more prepared. Yeah, Oklahoma State's just a little too erratic. But so I would lean to the Hogs in that one. And one other note, Ken, I don't know if you saw it on there, but just as an informational thing, unfortunately, Kentucky, Texas is canceled tomorrow.
Kentucky
came down with a couple of cases.
They put their season on pause
and
because of determined amount of time because of that.
It's a canceled game. And that would have been a fun one.
The Michigan-Indiana game got canceled too, or postponed. I'm not sure. I haven't heard whether either schools, what's going on with that. But that was a game I was actually looking forward to, because this Michigan team is it's pretty special. What Juwan Howard's been able to do is
why is Kansas still ranked in the top 25 or top 20? They're 11-5. I mean,
because they're Kansas.
What's UNC's record? What's Duke's record? And all of a sudden, Kansas. I mean, the last
Duke's 6-5.
Yeah, Duke's not ranked anymore.
Well, I know
fell out though.
That's my point.
The Heels just fell out. Georgetown 3-8. All these
and
traditional great teams are not there.
And it's funny though, because they're still a 5.5-point favorite over a 10-win Clemson team.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if I'm missing something there, but I'm going to take Clemson all day long with that.
Yeah, I'm literally looking at it right now. It's. I can't take Duke in that situation. Clemson's a good ball club.
Can't lay any points with Duke when they have 500 record. Gonzaga plays Pepperdine tomorrow too at 5 p.m. Gonzaga 6-0, 7-0 in the WCC. What do you think about this team, Josh? I know everybody's talking about they're by far and away the best team. I think it's probably them and Baylor.
Yeah.
But when does Gonzaga start getting bored? I mean,
exactly. And also,
every game they've played for the last week.
When do they face upper tier competition? Which I understand they already have twice. They've beaten some good teams. They've beaten Baylor, but again, that was overtime, whatever. So it's not as keep walking through these. John, doesn't remind you of early '90s UNLV against the Santa Barbaras of the world or the Big
West? Yeah,
what's the point?
There's a lot to that. Yeah. It's not quite as flashy.
But the point is, the
Rebels, the year that they won it all, they went 35-5. They lost five games that year.
Right.
So I think they're going to drop a game.
So Duke is due to go 24-0 to get to 35-5 or 30.
They better get to work.
Yeah, I don't know if you announced the spread, but I said you guys follow up the other night. I didn't play because I thought too many. I was tempted to jump in, whatever. But they seem to have that habit of getting there, though, of course, except when
you're referring to Gonzaga?
Yes. It was like 27.5 at San Diego, and it fell 28.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, good thing I avoided that thing entirely.
Well,
it looked like a bad beat waiting to happen.
The Pacific game, before, they were only up 5 at halftime and then came back to crush the number. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think they are getting bored with this conference that they have. Which
you guys have seen it too. They're a little down the street, but BYU has tended to have, their number.
Yeah.
They've been the team that gets them. They got them twice last year.
Yeah.
Pepperdine was playing better earlier in the year too. That's you kind of look at Pepperdine. It's not like they're that much a pushover.
No, they're improving for sure.
So I'm just like, let me pull this up real quick, Josh.
If you go to school in Malibu,
you would think that's a recruiting tool that they'd be a little better.
The guys are going to Spokane, Malibu.
Right.
Don't forget.
Think about
Gonzaga's laying in that game. What is it like 24? Is that what it is?
Is that what you have?
Yeah. They play Pepperdine. They play Pepperdine.
21.5 20, over under 164.
All right. And they played early. They've already played Pepperdine once this year. They're in this weird schedule where they don't play the 2-2 thing so all the time. So they played Pepperdine and beat Pepperdine 95-70. So they went by 25 right there. What are they laying now, Tommy?
21.5.
Let's see. Who does Gonzaga have on deck? They have Loyola Marymount on deck. So no look ahead game there. It's a classic example that if Gonzaga wants to cover the spread, they will. It's that simple.
Exactly, any number.
Josh, real quick, do you have anything? Josh, he's a writer for Sportsline. Couldn't be here last week because we're a little bit earlier, and he had some mandatory stuff he had to attend to. But I'm a fan of Sportsline.com. I'm a member of all of your guys' stuff, and I get on there. I don't read your articles, Josh, because I just ask you. But I read everybody else's articles because I don't talk to them. So anyway, what articles do you have on Sportsline right now?
what kind of a little of everything, but what we did today is, of course, with everything we're going to talk about regarding the
big
game next Sunday, we're doing the same thing. I've been sitting there all afternoon going, we're seriously doing something similar where, of course, we're in partnership with William Hill now, looking at all the props. Like, we're going to do individual articles on almost every single prop. So we're sitting there, like, someone that's popular, say Travis Kelce, right?
Yeah.
He's got over-unders of 9.5 catches, 97 and a half yards. And we're literally sitting there hashing it out. Like, yeah, we need, you know, we're going to give away detailed analysis on just that prop and say, play this or not, play over-under. And every single one. So any player you're interested in, Tyreek Hill, and on the other side, of course, whoever you want, Brady or Chris Godwin or Gronk or whatever, every player touches the ball and has the props. We're breaking all of those down. So even with, you know, as much Super Bowl coverage as we would give the game at any other time, like anything else, it's just exploding. We're all thrilled. As you mentioned, you know, every year now the props are coming out earlier because it used to just be a few basic ones and then you got hit with the big ones just a couple of days before the game. There's such high demand for it now, though, as you know. Here we are as recently as yesterday, so Thursday of the first week, and almost like you said, 80-90% of the props are out. They're all on the mobile app, and it's cool because even now you could go, if you want to do the cross sport thing with, you know, Super Bowl points versus LeBron's triple double, whatever. That's all already there. So we've got that, and since we are full partners with William Hill now, I said you'll see every prop. Everything is going to be a William Hill product. So that alone, Ken, is everything. But as you alluded to with the other sports, and still everything out. So there's NASCAR and golf this weekend, and we do the thing where even though we have pregame golf selections and everything, where it's updated every day. We're saying this is the new menu of future bets or whatever. We get new picks every day.
Absolutely, great content, great stuff to follow there. And if you're not if you're a better and you don't have opinions on stuff, they have professional people that actually put out their opinions on NASCAR, UFC, golf. I used to crush golf in your match. I used to crush the NASCAR stuff, but you guys kind of pulled back on that a bit. Get with your people and say, get the NASCAR stuff.
Maybe I do.
I love the matchups in the future.
Right. During the pandemic, like, NASCAR was one of the first things. You know, we went full bore on that. I think even we were surprised. Like, we covered it more sort of out of necessity, but now people want it back.
Yeah.
Tell Ben I'm going to stop plugging Sportsline on the William Hill Sports Show, even though you guys are partners, if they don't get the NASCAR stuff.
All right. So that won't work, by the way. They'll say I can't come on the show. Derek, all right, let's stop.
My favorite prop always was the old Hilton Sportsbook had it. I hit a 4 straight years, was Super Bowl winner to Daytona winner.
And that's four straight years. That was a popular one.
I love that one. Yeah.
Well, you just pick who's going to win each?
Yeah, just simple as that.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Your other favorite prop is the over-under rushing touchdown, 1.5 yards.
Shortest touchdown, over or under 1.5 yards. All right, let's head off to our next commercial break. We'll look at. We're going to jump into the big game. I have a bunch of stuff, props. These two teams did play earlier in the year. I have those stats. I have some correlated prop bets I like. I'll kind of give you my theory and my philosophy on how to bet prop bets. Hopefully, educate somebody a little bit. And we'll jump right into this slate. Like I said, they're all available on the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. And don't forget, William Hill has a sign-up bonus. If you do not have the mobile app, come down to County Eva, sign up for the William Hill mobile app, deposit $50, and they'll match the $50. So basically, you're getting $100. You're going to bet the Super Bowl. If you don't have the William Hill mobile app, come down, put $50 in, you get $100 worth of bets. You can't beat it. So I'll be back after these messages on ESPN, 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. Coming to you live from the Club County Eva on ESPN, 94.5 FM. Wolfpack basketball Sunday night, 6:30 versus Vegas. 2-game set. Play what? Sunday and Tuesday. Talk to Nick McDonavich, the lead trader for William Hill. Looks like the Pack's going to open up at home right around a 4.5 point favorite. Let's go. Nothing better than beating the brakes off Vegas. We'll talk about basketball left tonight. Illinois, Iowa. Illinois laying 3, total of 162. I think we're kind of split on this. I think the consensus basically came in only under 162. Boise State plays Colorado tonight at 8 p.m. Boise State laying 2.5 on the road, total of 145.5. I think the consensus there was Boise State coming off a loss, looking to lay a short price of Boise State in the bounce back game. Josh, did you agree with that?
Correct.
Okay. And then and return of the Hawaii 9 p.m. games, Irvine traveled to Hawaii, Irvine laying 3 on the road, total of 137. I already backed Irvine. I don't know if you guys have any action on that game yet, but I'm sure at about 8:50 tonight, you guys will be scrambling to get a wager down on that game.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, here we are with a big game. Opened at 3.5. Green Bay loses to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay advances. A surprise right there. Kansas City beats Buffalo, so Buffalo advances to the Super Bowl. And so here we are. Look, right after the game, I on the William Hill mobile app, I pulled it up, Kansas City opened as a 3.5-point favorite and 56.5. Immediately, the wise guys, they gobbled up the half point. So it's been actually bet down. So the early money's actually came in on Tampa Bay and the under half point move on the under two. So 57 down to 56.5. Interesting matchup. You know, you have Tom Brady here. What is this, his 10th Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You have the reigning MVP or the reigning Super Bowl MVP and Super Bowl champions, Kansas City. I guess you couldn't script this out any better. These teams did play earlier in the year, but your thoughts real quick, you three on this game.
Yeah, I mean, State Farm wishes they could have scripted that a little better now that Aaron Rodgers there, obviously. But, yeah, Tom Brady, I mean, it is unbelievable. It really is. If there was any doubt before about Tom Brady, which I don't know how there could have been, what he's done here. And, you know, obviously it's not just him, but to have that as your leader, you know, Jameis had, what do you have, 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns last year?
30-30.
You know, it's quite an upgrade to go from Jameis to Tom Brady.
But Brady had a handful of pick sixes this year, too. Like, he hasn't been remembered yet.
Maybe Saints the offense. In the
opening game.
Yeah, that's right.
He's actually had a few of those. But, yeah, you know, that opening number was surprising. I thought, like you mentioned, Ken, that hook could be so huge. Of course, the first time they met, same exact thing. It was in Tampa. It was a three-point game. But, you know, the Chiefs jumped out. Tampa Bay came on late and just sort of backdoored that cover. But, so, of course, that extra half point could be huge. But Ken, I don't know if you follow, again, we're getting these action reports and hearing about the big bets and everything. What I find interesting so far, so of course 3.5, people are scalping that half point, but at the 3 even, there's wild, huge bets on both sides. So I just saw one coming in, because we're reporting on that. I don't know if you saw, Ken, someone paid for the extra juice. Someone paid $2.3 million to win $2 million on the Bucks plus 3.5, so they paid the extra 15% for that hook. But then there was like 500,000 or bigger bets in Kansas City. So the bottom line is, you look at the draw, two-way action with that spread, it's happening. I mean, this is going to be with a few ones, Ken, where I bet you, well, it'll be hit on here. It'll be heavy in Kansas City because of the public. But the distribution of the money coming close to 50-50 is really rare for a Super Bowl, where we're going to see it here, just very close.
Absolutely. John?
I feel comfortable laying 3 with the Chiefs against pretty much any team ever, really. The way that offense can put up numbers.
And that's my first initial lean. And then I start thinking back of, you go into New Orleans as a 3.5-point underdog and destroy them. You go into Green Bay as a 3.5-point underdog and destroy them. I mean.
Yeah, they had that team that comes out of nowhere with three straight road wins.
And I said this a couple of years ago. I am a Niner guy. I am a Montana guy. But I passed that torch to Tom Brady as the GOAT a couple years ago. And it's really difficult to bet against him. And the one thing, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this, how much do you think Kansas City getting there Saturday is going to factor in? Because you don't have the whole popping circumstance of being there a week for all the media sessions and getting ready and everything. I mean, they're treating this almost like any other Sunday.
Right. Well, it's funny. It's
worked out for him.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, it's actually a good question, and to which I would answer not much. I mean, I think by and large, they're thrilled to not have the 2 weeks of just nonstop hoopla or whatever. So the fact that you get to block all that out and just show up for the game.
And that's kind of what I was thinking a little bit, is you don't have the pressure of, okay, I need to talk to the cute little kid who's the journeyman journalist, and then I have to get the same 55 questions. And well, it's got to be exhausting and taxing on you.
I think the one thing that's probably less exhausting for all the players is, you know, what you always hear, John, is that trying to get all your friends and family tickets.
Yeah.
And this year, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The fact that Tampa Bay is playing this game at home, does that have any factor into this?
Sure it does. I think it's more pressure.
Are they in their home locker room?
Yes,
they are.
Yeah, they're the home team, regardless, though.
Okay, right, because the NFC usually is alternate
teams here.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
But well, John, there's some other things.
Right before you go to that, Josh, I want to fill this out. You know, Kansas City 16-2 this year. Tampa Bay's 14-5. Tampa Bay's 9-2 on the road, 5-3 at home. So it goes back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
They played 8 games at home. They're 5-3.
Yeah.
They lost 3 of the 8 games at home. Sure. Kansas City's 8-2 on the road. Josh?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so much is made about, you know, they can't be the first team to win in their home stadium and play in their home stadium. That is true. But it's happened before. It's just close. So the 49ers.
Yeah, the Niners.
The Candlestick. They played in Santa Clara, whatever. Yeah, they were right nearby. Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's in Stanford. And same thing with the Rams, who played in Coliseum, like, not in their home stadium, but in Los Angeles, the Rose Bowl.
And so they're asking about the Steelers.
Right. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, the technicality is that it is their exact home stadium. Yes. But teams playing in their home city, and pretty much the same thing has happened before. So a lot's being made of that. But of course, as you know, it would be huge if there's 90,000 2/3
Buccaneers. And that's going to be huge difference.
Right. So the fact that it's still mostly very limited fan participation. I mean, put it this way, if you're the Bucs, you're not going to complain about it. But as much as anything, that you can sleep in your bed for the next 2 weeks.
This is the first of these 10 Brady Super Bowls that I wasn't scared to death he was going to win it. I kind of hoped.
And here's another one. There's so many storylines here, but you guys are aware. And they talk about how you break through and whatnot for the longest while. Patrick Mahomes, the only guy he couldn't beat was Tom Brady. He lost to him a bunch of times, including that title game with the interception, the offsides, and all that. But he even said that this year, like, hey, he thought it was huge because, you know what, it was his first, you know, milestones happen in your career one night. He's like, that's sort of the, you know, cross the bear I need to get off of. And so he beat Brady once, but there's that thing, is it still, yeah, is he sort of, you know, to the day he hangs up, but he's still sort of your big brother. You know?
Yeah, so, exactly. So I got to give a shout out for who mentioned this to Fat Stanley, because he and I were talking the other day, and he said, if Tom Brady wins this as an underdog, this makes him the greatest North American athlete of all time.
So it all hinges on this one game?
Well, this puts him over the top, I think is what he was saying.
Well, put it this way, his 7 championship.
This is the most talent he's ever had on offense. Ever.
Especially now that they're all healthy, because it's funny, because they all took turns being injured throughout the year. But now, they said now they actually have Evans, Godwin, and Brown.
I don't need that title, Brown wins.
I mean, it's just crazy.
And two
good running backs, Fournette. And Ronald Jones. Fournette's been underused this year, clearly, because I think he's better than Ronald Jones. But so that's crazy. But Ken, some of the numbers, though. Okay, so as this, he's already got more Super Bowl rings than anybody. Only Tom has 6, you realize, okay? Number 2 is Charles Haley with 5. Everyone else is behind. So it would extend his own personal record Super Bowl rings by 2. But also think about the 7 compared to Jordan's 6. The 7's huge. And then you just look at everything else that triggers him being the 7th thing. It's just unheard of. So I do think, for what it's worth, this does put him in categories of certain things.
It's different because maybe LeBron gets there, but LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami before he even peaked, came back at the peak, and he's old, but he's still great in Los Angeles. So it's different. Brady, New England was like, okay, you're beyond your years. You're not. If they would have thought this was going to be Tom, they would have not gotten rid of him.
Well, they didn't have anything around him, though, either. Think about that. Look at all the receivers we just mentioned. His last 2 years in New England, who was it, Julian Edelman?
What would have been,
he should just be like a third down.
What would have made them think this wasn't going to be Tom? There was no indication that this wasn't going to happen, right?
Well, I just think it's interesting, John, though, because I was speculating, you know, he finally leaves and whatnot. I'll say this, at least at the time, when the Buccaneers looked bad this year, they were really bad. And that was against good teams. Right? Yeah. So they got clobbered twice by the Saints, got smashed at home by the Rams. Like, man, when they lost, you figure, okay, maybe they're decent. They're good enough for the second place in the division and 11-5, and maybe that's just sort of their ceiling. But in hindsight, it's like the whole thing for him to sort of take this journey away from New England. To me, John, I just sit back. Really, it just figures. Of course. His first day, then there he is in the Super Bowl with the Bucs, of course. But when you sort of flash back on the whole thing, yeah, that's why the Bucs went after him. That's why I was kind of hoping that's
Bills
where they're at.
The Bills will win because they thought, oh, finally we're rid of Brady. And then you got
to
go
play hilarious. Yeah. Well, Bills and Bucs would have been hilarious for just that reason. But, yeah, it's okay. It's one of those things. I don't really stand on Tom, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Brady, I have no problem
with Tom Brady. I just cannot respect that. I mean, yeah. And there he is, yeah, 3 playoff road games in a row. And he says
he still wants to play another 3 years.
Well, he had said 45 before, so that would be a couple of
50. He's still spinning the ball. He looks the same.
You guys wouldn't believe, though, because all the research I've already done on this game, all the props, everything else, and as if Brady, if the Buccaneers were to win this game, the amount of just milestones and stuff and triggers for him are just crazy. But yeah. You know, he'd be the only quarterback even who won the Super Bowl in three different decades. Oh, that is just insane. Okay, at this point, wow. There's only two that have won it in two decades, and those are Peyton and Eli Manning.
And that was 2002 when he won the first one. It wasn't like it was 2009.
Right. Wow. So three decades in football.
And I love the stat. When he won his first Super Bowl, Mahomes was 6 years old.
Yeah.
That's just – Mahomes probably doesn't remember watching the Super Bowl at that age.
Oh, his dad's a pro baseball player.
Right, yeah.
So the late bloomer was
football. It's such an opportunity for the Chiefs and for Mahomes to cement their legacy. If Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, he can retire the next day, you know.
Absolutely.
He might be able to do it right now.
And John, something we see so rarely, of course, because the NFL rules so designed toward equal teams and whatnot, there'd also be a mini dynasty of sort, because you also realize how rare it is for teams to even go back-to-back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Belichick Brady thing, they only did it once.
Yeah.
This only happened like three times, I think, ever. So even that, just to win two in a row, like I said, sort of cements them as they are the dynasty of sports now.
Yeah, if I had to pick from the betting angle, I might just take the +3. But for a rooting interest and has nothing to do with a like or dislike of Brady, Patrick Mahomes is the future of the league. He's such a great guy to root for. And we talk about all the weapons and everything that Tampa Bay has, but Kansas City's no slouch. I mean, there's a reason they put up their points. There's a reason they're comfortable falling behind 2-3 scores. And then right like that, they're back in it, and now they got a 3-point lead.
Just rooting wise, Steeler fan perspective. Yeah, well, I know John Bell on one side, yeah, Antonio Brown on the other, and our buddy Brock brought that to me the other night. And it's a simple answer. I'd rather Le'Veon win than Antonio Brown. Le'Veon just didn't play. Antonio actually tried to kill the organization.
I mean, you know what? Le'Veon sort of killed it, too. Right. He didn't really
– couldn't have just stayed together.
He didn't do Pittsburgh any favors, and then he completely pumped out on the Jets.
Hold on, guys. We have to go to traffic. I'm sorry. Let's go to traffic.
Did we just – Greg?
All right. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all his stuff at sportsline.com. Ton of articles right there. Josh is on there. He's a wager. He's a bettor, and he's a journalist, and everything that he says on this show, he backs up online and through his pocketbook. So, Sportsline, Josh, right?
Correct. And thanks for backing me up, Kim. But it's true. Like, yeah, anyone who follows me know I don't put out a pick unless I'm sure of it. Like, I don't work in high volume, really selective. But if you see it under my profile on the site, guaranteed, I'll have it. Not goofing around. I'll have a bet on it, and we actually try to give out, pretty much
the
strongest plays available, not just volume, but we're talking about quality over quantity here.
What's the subscription to have 10 full
bucks
access
a month? Anytime we're on special all the time, if you're paying that much, it's like whatever, because if you subscribe to anything, give an email, whatever, you're gonna get a coupon for half off. I mean, it's real easy to get the whole year for like 50 or whatever.
Well, and that's my point, is there's enough content from all the writers, not just you. I mean, if you just followed your stuff with the insight that you give, you could wager properly and make enough money to cover the cost for one full year of that. And that's not counting everybody else on there that has their specialties, whether it's the NBA, baseball, college football, whatever it is. So it's well worth the investment.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned the DFS thing, of course, which is so huge. I know Ken plays a little bit. I'm starting to get into it more. But that stuff every day, whatever your sport is, with DFS people showing you if it's something you play, like what lineup you should put in there. And they're the type of guys, same thing, they've been graded and won tournaments and stuff for that sort of thing. So that info is top notch as well.
Yeah, wasn't a group at your
they took part of the prize of that contest. Yeah.
Really? Somebody at this table did.
Yeah.
You don't have to look that far, Tommy.
Didn't see you there, Ken.
All right, let's talk the big game. These two teams did play early in the week, week 12. Kansas City won the game 27-24. Jumped out to a 17-point lead in the first half. We're talking about the earlier game of the year between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Kansas City, they were laying 3.5 on the road, a total of 56. It's almost, ironic that Nick and the sports professionals opened this right at 3.5 and right at 56. Like I said, Kansas City jumped out to a 17-0 first quarter lead. And they led at halftime 20-7. Going through these stats, guys, and this is kind of, you want to kind of compare these when you're making your prop bets or even side and total bets. know, depends on where you want to get your money involved in the game. Kansas City had 26 first downs in that game. Tampa Bay had 20 first downs. Passing yards, Kansas City, Mahomes threw for 456 yards that game. Brady threw for 342. That's kind of to be expected. That's a lot of yards for only 51 points scored in the game.
Yeah, you know, Ken, there was some defensive stops going on remember early on, especially the Chiefs. That was a crazy game. Desmond Tyreek Hill had like almost a 300 yard first half.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, they threw it deep over their head and just looked like
I put against him in fantasy that week.
Kansas City was just about to crush him. But you're right. The Bucs kind of got their feet under him. And late, it was interesting. The second half, with Tyreek's turn, Brady got on fire. That's when he started hitting guys. He hit Evans, I think, twice, or Evans and Godwin, one each. And it was one of those things where they sort of ran out of time, but they got their scores and they got it within three. And that was, you know, Kansas City held on. But it was a fascinating game. And like you said, this one comes into pretty much the exact same type and total.
You know, going back to what you said, John, Josh, I'll throw this to you, John. You know, Tampa Bay scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, even to make this close. So they had 10 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, and then they scored the two late touchdowns. Kansas City didn't score in the first down in the fourth quarter. So you kind of look at it that way. I think Kansas City pretty much had this game in hand the whole way. Josh, you alluded to about Tyreek Hill. And he had 15 targets in this game. He had 13 receptions for 269 yards and three touchdowns. So they couldn't stop Tyreek Hill. And I think that as long as Mahomes' foot is okay,
he's fine.
They're gonna flat game plan for Tyreek Hill over the top. And that's just going to open up Kelce under the middle. It's going to open up the running game. I don't think this game was really as close, guys.
It wasn't.
As the 27-24 final. Like I said, 26 first downs to 20, 456 yards for Kansas City through the air, 342 for Tampa Bay. Return yardage, 42-8 for Kansas City. Both teams punted four times. Penalties, this, and we're going to get into the prop bets too, because this is an interesting stat that I found today. There are 18 penalties in this game, and 10 of them were against Kansas City, and they still blow this team out.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the head coaching matchup, I love Bruce Arians. He was great. He won a Super Bowl as Steeler coordinator. Love him. I love his story coming back from cancer. He's a cool dude. I love his style, his hats, everything. Andy Reid has cemented himself as in that Mike Holmgren-esque, that tier of great coach.
I think he's gone beyond
that. He might have. That's a good point. He might, from what he did with the Eagles, you know, three straight NFC championships with the Eagles, the three straight with the Chiefs in a, you know, different conference, obviously. And they have a chance to be a dynasty here. I don't see the Chiefs letting this go. I think they're just a better, flat-out better team. The three scares me. I wish it was five.
Yeah. It's a great point, John. And I kind of look, and not to discredit Tampa Bay and what they've done this year, but, you know, Tampa Bay, they've kind of succeeded by getting the Super Bowl.
It's such an accomplishment. Exactly. Tom Brady got them here.
Exactly. And then you have Kansas City, who kind of expected to get here. Yeah. So kind of like Gonzaga right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Gonzaga right now. Now we're in the tournament. Now it's time
one true loss to the Raiders.
That's it.
Throw out the Charger loss.
Throw out the Week 17 loss. You're exactly right. When everybody knew that. It could be. Absolutely could be. I mean,
they're that's good. And the Buccaneers are not.
And I agree with that. And now you're giving Mahomes, whether he his head was scrambled a little bit because of the head injury, or his foot was, you know, hurt because of that. That's gonna be 3 weeks ago by the time we kick off at game time. And now you're getting a motivated Kansas City team on a neutral, whether it's still in Tampa Bay. And I like Kansas City in the game. I really do. And I think that if Tampa Bay covers this spread, I think it's going to be exactly like this game earlier. It's going to be a late backdoor cover with the game being in hand.
So they're being in play for.
Yes.
And exactly. So that alludes to a prop bet question that I have for you. Will Tampa Bay ever have the lead in this game?
Yes, because I actually think there's a prop bet. There's a prop bet they're going to put out. Will there be a lead change in the first half? And I'm going to bet that yes. So yes, I do think Tampa Bay will be ahead. But that goes to form with the game flow that Kansas City has displayed recently. You know, they're letting teams stay in early. What was Buffalo in this game? 9-0?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at this team. And I'm not saying that Tampa Bay's any slouch. And believe me, this is just my opinion. I mean, look at the quarterback stats, guys. For the year, Mahomes threw for 4,740 yards. Brady, 4,633. Right there. Completion percentage, Mahomes, 66.3. Brady, 65.7. Right there. Yards per attempt, 8.1 versus 7.6. TDs, 38 TDs for Mahomes, 6 picks. Brady, 40 touchdowns and 12 picks. And you go to QBR quarterback rating, Mahomes 108, Brady 102. So, yeah, he's going to be able to move the ball. And I think that when it's – and does Brady Josh have enough gamesmanship to keep it close?
See, that's the thing, Ken. I don't know. But one thing I don't know if you can always, you know, count him out. The one factor that I wonder if we're talking about enough, though, is, you know, Tampa's defense, which has come on since that game. You know, they haven't – first of all, you realize one thing's worth noting – since the Chiefs game, which I agree was as lopsided as a three-point game can be, we all saw it. It was basically a blowout in disguise. But Tampa Bay hasn't lost since. Their defense is by far the top in the playoffs, and they just keep getting stingier. So it's like, okay, is that the same? Your defense, obviously, to stand a chance against Mahomes, you got to get off the field your share against them, like legit three and outs and punts once in a while. If any team can, they can now.
Well, and I think it says a lot that Green Bay – was the top red zone team in the NFL this year. And with 238 left in the game, they kicked the field goal on fourth and goal instead of going for it. I think says a lot of how improved that Tampa Bay defense is, because, hey, you know, we don't want to go for it, turn the ball over, we'll put points on the board. I understand the rationale. You got Rodgers. You have to do it. I think it was the wrong move, but I understand why. I mean, you're getting shut down all of a sudden with your great, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, four tries.
Well, I would say thing, statistically or analytic or whatever. The thing that bothered me about it was the field goal just didn't help you. You get it back, and if the field goal cut it to three, that'd be one thing. Okay, we get that stop, and our field goal ties it. I was like, yeah, I feel like you still need a touchdown. It was like the most emptiest points ever. And it's like, and you had a chance, like you said, with even though you did, you know, three incompletions, whatever, from the nine, hey, the fourth one might have worked. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
I just looked at it.
Brady goes, I don't think this guy can get a first down.
Yeah, you know, let's just give it back to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And just assume we can get off the field.
Even if you do turn it over, you still need that touchdown on a two-point conversion, but they're backed up to the 10, the 13, whatever they're at. And I just think it gives you a better chance.
Right, poor field position. The failure, even if you got stopped inside the three, now you've got –
The failure on that possession was the inability to get in on the first three plays with Aaron Rodgers at home. He's got to get them in the end zone. Right there. He's
and
got
that,
to.
And that last one, he was running. I thought he had a
right.
He
made
a
bad decision. Exactly. He had a lane through across his body, and they made a good defense.
So that's why they drafted Jordan Love. You can't trust Aaron Rodgers.
We'll take him.
Yeah. So I want to go back to what Tyreek Hill did in this first game, which, and because there's a lot of props, and like I said, Tyreek Hill had 15 targets in this first game. He had 13 receptions for 269 yards and three touchdowns. Now, so what is your guys' thoughts on how Tampa Bay is going to game plan for Tyreek Hill? He had three touchdowns, 75 yards, 44 yards, and 20 yards. I mean, so they were big plays.
You know how awful that is when you have Mahomes in fantasy and don't realize the guy you're playing has Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know if you can. Can you game plan for Tyreek Hill?
Well, here,
can anybody?
Here's kind of what I'm looking at, John.
He's a cheetah.
And I'm going to throw these out there, and I'll get your guys' opinions after. Tyreek Hill total receptions for this game is 6.5. Okay.
I think that's a little light.
Okay. Tyreek Hill's longest reception. Tyreek Hill longest reception, 27 yards.
So long.
That's my point. If you're going to bet, listen, correlate your bets, listeners. If you like Tyreek Hill to catch more than 6.5 balls, bet him over 27.5
yards. I love
yards.
The props.
Correlate.
I love the props that you
right, can Josh?
I love the props that you can get on one play.
Yes.
Those
exactly.
Are props I love.
Yeah. So, I mean, 98 yards is a receiving yards. It opened at 89.5. It's up to 98.5. You know, I'm not sure how much I like that. I like over 98.5 yards for Tyreek Hill receptions, but I love Tyreek Hill to catch over 6.5 balls, and I love his launch reception over 27 yards. It even if he catches three, if you might push the bet with one of them being over 27 yards. He, in the first game, guys, what did I tell you? Where'd my notes go? In the first game, he caught three. He caught a 75-yarder and a 45-yarder for touchdowns. Now, and hold on. So, if you don't buy into what I'm saying, if you think that's not going to happen again, well, that means that you think Tampa Bay is going to take away Tyreek Hill. So, where's the offense going to come from? figure that out. We have to go to commercial break. I want you to think about that, because that's the way you should attack these props. Figure out what you like. Look at the props. Look at the past performance. Draw an opinion and bet accordingly. All right, let's head off to our last commercial break on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Wim Hill Sports Show. Come to you live. First segment of the big game props. We already talked about it a little bit earlier. Kansas City opened up as a 3.5-point favorite for next Sunday, on February 7th. Total opened up at 57.5. Money came in early on Tampa Bay, so it got bet down to Kansas City -3. That's where it sits right now. And the total is at 56.5, so half-point move on the total. So right now the money's coming in on Tampa Bay and under. We're talking about props and things of that nature. In the first game, Kansas City beat Tampa Bay as a 3.5-point favorite, 27-24. They jumped out to a 17-point lead in the first quarter. They're up 20-7 at halftime. Tampa Bay scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to actually make it a respectful 27-24. So just keeping that in mind, Tampa Bay only scored 10 points before the fourth quarter. Kansas City thinking maybe they had the game under control. But Tyreek Hill went off, guys. We were talking about that. You know, he went for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. I like Tyreek Hill. Long receptions over 27.5. Tyreek Hill receptions over 6.5. Guys, real quick, weigh in on that.
And I like the over 26.5 because I think they will game plan to make sure that they don't give up that 45-yard reception for touchdown, which opens it up for Hilaire and Kelsey. And at some point, they're going to slip, and Mahomes is too good and too smart of a quarterback. He's going to hit him for one of those long receptions, whether it's touchdown or not. You're going to get 30, 40 yards out of one reception from him.
John, I'm going to throw this up to you, talking about, and Josh, too, talking about correlated parlays, where you can win 2 bets on one play. You like Tyreek Hill over his longest reception over 27.5
yards? Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Patrick Mahomes, longest completion is only 37.5. If Tyreek Hill gets the ball and he goes over 27.5, he's probably in the open field running free.
Are they baiting us right now?
You see what Josh thought?
It seems easy.
It seems, yeah, very easy.
Josh?
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, if they game plan for Tyreek Hill over the top, somebody's still going to catch a ball, whether it's one of the other two wide receivers. Kelsey.
Yeah, right.
Hardman's
walking Kelsey. You've got options, of course, for the second one. So, yeah, it makes sense. Like you mentioned with Tyreek Hill, it's almost like what we saw in the Alabama thing with Devontae Smith. It's like there's some receivers like, yeah, you cannot guard him. He's going to get X amount of catches. I don't like the high amount. It's a pretty high total, of course, for a receiver or whatnot. But like you mentioned, Ken, how can you not expect him to be involved in –
That's why Winfield Jr. is back.
This right.
Game. That's going to help the Bucs.
Yeah, I can't imagine, though, that you can slow him down enough. It's one of those things where if you did, Ken, it's one of those things. Like you mentioned, if we wanted to explore everything with Kelsey and everyone else with everything, like you mentioned, you can't take the over on all of them because it's just not going to happen.
Right.
But you decide what you think the game plan is going to really be focused on and bet accordingly. Like I said, the converse is
I think you focus on
you Kelsey. You also can't take the under on everybody because somebody is going to produce. So like I said, you can't really have a blanket strategy. You have to pretty much analyze it case by case. And as it pertains to Tyreek Hill, I just agree. Even though he'll get his share of attention and everything else, I can't imagine him getting less than 6 catches. Or,
you know. Do you, if you're going to focus on one, do you focus on Kelsey or Tyreek?
Well, that's the problem. And well, John, that's what we're talking about right now. The projected points right now, when you do the math, the projected points for Kansas City guys is 29.5 points. Right. Where are they coming from?
Well, and with that, Ken, it's funny. I was going to say maybe with Hill, you might like the over on the receptions because they do some real gimmicky, like you'll have the goal line. They'll throw that just lightning quick screen to him, and that counts as a catch. Or the sort of the pitch when he runs by on the jet sweep, and that pitch is considered a catch. But I was thinking, so maybe you get the cheap ones with Tyreek Hill, but they also do it with Kelsey now. Yeah. the underhand bowling right. pitch or whatever on the goal line. So it's like he gets his share.
That one last week was crazy.
Yeah, he gets his share of cheap ones too. But I still think, though, if you're looking for the pure – bulk to get over that total. Tyreek, yeah, of course, he's going to go deep and all that, but he's going to get a few cheap ones.
Yeah, I think those are two, like you said, are they baiting us? Or they're begging for us to put our money on the overs on the two Tyreek Hill
those
ones.
Those are definitely two I'm going to take over, the 37.5.
And
is that what you said, the longest reception or longest pass?
Longest pass over 37.
Which player?
Longest pass from Mahomes, 37.
39.
39.5. Tyreek Hill over 27.5 and get it in one shot.
And you're
That's
telling me that
if Tyreek Hill's going over 27.5, it's because he's running free.
Yes.
So he's got to pick up an extra, what, 12 yards?
Yeah, because then even if he gets tackled right when he catches it, if it's greater than that 27 and a half, it's probably going to be 40, 50 yards down.
The sideline anyway.
Yeah. That means yeah, so you kill two birds with one stone right there.
So I guess what we're saying is if you like Tyreek Hill longest reception over 27 and a half yards, bet Mahomes over 39 and a half yards. If you like Mahomes longest completion over 39 and a half yards, bet Tyreek Hill longest reception over 27 and a half yards. If you like them both, then bet them both.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing that I know we sort of, I believe we mentioned last year, but it's worth repeating, like you can find some good value in this whole book. It's also easy to get overwhelmed. Sometimes the simplest ones, you know, make the most the profit where you feel like a certain player's, you know, yards is off or whatever. But it's worth noting too, when a bet just doesn't make sense. And Ken, what I'm getting at is, I think we had the same situation last year where it's like MVP versus game outcome, right? It's getting to where Mahomes is probably going to be like minus 150 to win MVP. If you like that, why not just take Chiefs money line?
Yeah.
Because he could not win the MVP and they'll still win the game.
Right.
So it's like, when it's that ridiculous, like you need to realize there's better value.
Okay. If Tyreek Hill goes off again for 250 yards and he wins MVP, he's 12-1.
Right. He's not bad. And whoever you're looking at, by the way, for those MVP and first player to score, other ones with the big odds, whatever, get those up because all those are going down. I think Tyreek Hill is going to close 12-1.
No. Nope.
It'll be like 6. So, right. Yeah. So, anyhow, this is the first week, actually, is when you want to pile up on those because those prices, one, the first, the best price has already been clipped, but two, it's only going to get worse.
One of the great handicappers I know, we were talking about philosophy and these things. And what happens in the Super Bowl is it brings out all the recreational bettors. I mean, you're talking about going from regular season where you pick a side and total in a game to going to the Super Bowl where you have literally a thousand different wagers that you can choose from. I mean, literally 1,000 different wagers. This brings out the casual better. Everybody here knows somebody that's the only time they bet. My girlfriend, the only time she will really make a bet on football. No, the only time is she'll make small wagers on things just to have entertainment value in the game. Yeah. So, and everybody that comes out as a casual bettor, respectfully, they're square bettors. They all bet the overs. So if you're an under bettor, wait, because
imagine the yards, the insanity you're
going to
get.
Like it's all going up.
Yeah,
it's all going up. Exactly. If you're an under bettor, wait, because the public is going to drive up, not maybe just the yards or the receptions, but the money too. Instead of laying 110, maybe the number stays the same, but it goes to from minus 110 to minus 125. So you're gaining value there. So if you're over better, if you're an under better, now's the time to, or excuse me, if you're under better, bet it now. If you're over better, jump now. If you missed the boat early on these props, it's better to wait.
Exactly.
If you're an under better.
And Ken, you're right. These ones change so dramatically sometimes where you really get the worst of them, and you got to not consider that. Like there are times where, if you like a certain running back, it's like, oh, 47 and a half is the opening thing. Suddenly, you cannot go over, you know, 59 and a half. I mean, you can't. Some of these numbers jump so much. Yeah. That, yeah, if you get a bad number, you really need to pass.
All right, we're running up against the clock real quick. So we'll start right now. Coin toss, the one thing that everybody bets.
Fails, never fails.
So, Dryden, 20. So, this is the 55th Super Bowl. So they've got 54. Tails, 29. Heads, 25. Well, I want to start right there. So do the odds catch up, guys? Or is this gonna last?
It's still barely over 50%, which tells you about a coin flip. Yeah. Like there's no edge either way.
Which tells you if you're a true mathematician and the price gets out of hand and you can get plus money on whichever one it is, still the plus money.
For sure.
Even if it's for $5. I bet it every year just to start out the soup, the big game,
yes,
and kind of gauge where I think it's going to go.
But it is funny, Ken, like as we know, we're action junkies, like we like to goof around and just do all the props just for fun, and we bet seriously too. But it is pretty funny, you know, on that very day, just as soon as the flip lands, you're winning or losing a bet, just sort of literally is the kickoff to your 6 hours of action.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Kickoff for your 6 hours of action. You know, a couple other things Tommy talked about, will Tampa Bay have the lead? I'm gonna make a wager that each team will have a lead in the first half. It's plus money. So yes, I do think Tampa Bay will be ahead in the first half. I think Kansas City will too.
And we have the famous ones, especially one that Josh hates,
three straight scores? No, I love it.
The first one's free.
Your theory.
I love the bet.
The theory makes the bet always hit. It goes over three every time. But no, you guys' theory of the first one doesn't count. And that's still not buy two, get one.
I always bet the shortest touchdown over 1.5, which I did in the national championship game.
Lost in the first drive.
First drive.
Yeah, there's always a 1 yard touchdown.
So listen, we're up against the clock. I can't really hear our board guy, but listen, all these props are available on the Windmill mobile app at www.windmill.us. Come down to the Club County to pick up probably about Tuesday or Wednesday. Nick's going to have the entire betting index for all these prop decks. You can pick it up. You can take it home. Download the Windmill mobile app. If you don't have the Windmill mobile app, come down to the county, sign up, deposit $50, and William Hill is going to match $50 to get $100 worth of action. So we're going to go through all these sports books. Like us on Facebook at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We're going to be posting these throughout the week. Each day, we're going to post at least 3 prop bets we like.
I got one.
And John, you're going to be in charge of that, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to put John in charge of that. Each day, we're going to post 3 prop bets of what we like. We have a whole week. We'll come down to probably eventually to the big head of things where who do we like in the game. I'm going to take guys right now at 3. I like Kansas City.
I do
like Kansas City. I think the first game was not even as close as this. So download the Windmill mobile app, www.windmill.us. Do all your sports wagering with Windmill. You got to download this app. All right. Go Wolfpack on Sunday versus Vegas. Beat their pants off.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Next week on ESPN 94.5.
FUNLV.